The thought is Christ in us, and what we breathe is his breath, his air, and it changes our life forever. Amen. And I don't know if you noticed, but all the air masks at the end on the floor, it started out with one person. Again, I'm a life-giving source. And then it started out, another person came and they lost their mask in the next one. And then they found out that there's a life-giving source on earth besides earthly things and the world that we live and the world that's around us. And so that was kind of the purpose there. And I was like hearing Jake sing, play piano. I enjoyed that. Okay. So, in that thought, I was in a prayer meeting yesterday, and I'm not going to name names, because it's all of us. We were in a men's prayer meeting, and we were having discussions like we do. Usually we get together and we discuss what's going on in the world and different things, and Danny hit me with a fly swatter, so we were just discussing these things, and so by the time we got to prayer, we asked if we said it's time to pray, because after we got done with each other through all of the things, we talked about political things, we talked about things that are going on in the nation, and by the time you're done, you almost have to pray against what you talked about so you can get in the Spirit. But it was interesting when we started praying, and what was said I thought was so powerful. And it was kind of like this: God culture, man culture. You know, God culture changes everything. And you can take one song and it changes the whole thing. If you sit down there and listen to a worship song or a praise song, you just go, wow. And whatever situation you're going through, you can do that, and it changes the atmosphere. And so that was one prayer. God's Spirit in us makes the difference. That was another thought as we were praying. Politics is man's answer to the world's problems. Okay? So you take a look. If politics is the answer to the world's problems, we're in trouble. Amen? We're just flat in trouble. But that's pretty much the political arena in all countries and all nations, is pretty much man trying to solve a problem that cannot be solved without Jesus Christ coming in and solving the problem. Amen? And so we were praying in that. If my people would humble themselves and pray, that was one of the scriptures that were brought out. I said, you know what? It's time to pray. And if that is a humbling place, if you know, I think that God's wanting radical change in America and throughout the earth. Amen? Yes. Radical change. You don't change anything unless you change something radically. And it starts out with you, then it comes, you know, you can always point the finger at them. But if you radically change, and if God radically gets in on the inside of you, something begins to change other people around you. Amen? And when this first happens, you get radically changed. I mean, once God comes in and he's not coexisting with every other area of the mass that these people are living on, that mass, they wake up, they go to bed, there's a mask of the world on them, feeding them all of this stuff. And that's not the air we breathe. That's not where we're living. We're living and breathing God. And it's interesting, even as Christians, I mean, was it bad talking about all those things? No, but by the time you were done talking about them, there was no life-giving source in our conversation. And it's interesting how we get with so many people and we talk with them, there's not a life-giving source. You know, it would look kind of weird if you went and you had your music right here and you put on a song. Listen to this. This will change your life. I don't know if you'll get by with that, but you know what? It's better than it talking about everything that's going on in the world, and by the time it's done, you're not feeling very good. But you think about the Bible and all the promises and the yes and amen. God's not saying no, he's saying yes and amen. And so with that thought, you can read the scriptures and they start changing everything about the things that you're thinking about in your life. We as Christians, we have a different mindset, and we're a different mindset people. This was the prayer meeting. One person brought up in prayer meeting a continually asking what we are supposed to do. You know, I like the word continually. Continually asking what we should do in every situation. And when you start doing that, you start relying on engrafted word of God in your life. Has anyone ever had a bad report in any way, shape, or form towards you or others that you love? You know, I know that right in this place right now, there's a lot of situations that seem like it's an impossible breakthrough. We were just talking about one individual that's fighting for his life, even went beyond fourth stage cancer, and he's fighting for his life. So I say, you know what? I got to get a hold of the God of heaven and earth. I have to find out, and he has answers for all of those things. I was thinking about my stepfather. he found out that he had brain cancer or cancer, and then it had spread to the brain. And he had never accepted Christ. He had this kind of thought that if he didn't do it all perfect, he wouldn't take communion unless he was perfect, because he was worried. He'd read in the scriptures that if you take communion unworthily, you know, that's going to be a bad thing. So he never took communion. And at the end of his life, when he was battling this cancer, and you'd say, well, is cancer a good thing? Well, basically, no. Is it from the devil? Yes, I'd say it was from the devil. I don't think that God's, you know, putting cancer on people and different things like that. But can God use it? You know, it's like a hammer in the workman's hand. He can use anything. And so my stepfather, he'd went out, and my mom called and said, I think Milo, something's happened. I think he died. And Jim and myself, we went over there, and he was down on the floor, and we lifted him up and we dropped him on the couch, and the guy comes back from the dead. And I'm going, oh man, this is something else. And he's weeping and crying, and this guy wouldn't weep, he wouldn't cry. You'd never catch him doing that. But he said, I seen Jesus. I'm going, you did what? I seen Jesus. And something in the room changed, something in his life. He was never the same again. He didn't live much longer after that. But because of that one time of having a divine, a connection with God, it changed him forever. And he's in heaven and not hell. The tool that the enemy meant for a terrible ending was the tool that saved his life, because he's seen Jesus. And you know, in the world that we live in, there's not too many people seeing Jesus. We see the politicians. We see the crooked ways of the world that is around us. We can't trust anything except Jesus. But Jesus is the one that we can trust. Amen? And it really comes down to you being a life source. I am a life source. You have to believe that you're a life source in Christ. You have to say, hey, you know what? This is my testimony. That person will share his testimony. And so the world's on this air mask, running around and breathing the air of the world and looking to try to find life. And they're walking and they're just like this. And I just love that last shot where all the air masks are gone. because people grabbed a hold of the healing power of God, grabbed a hold of the functioning of God in the realm of family, in the realms of churches. In all those realms, we are life-giving sources. Amen? We are. First of all, I have to believe that. But then we become, as a body, we become life-giving. Tom, you're a life-giving source to your family, to this church, to yourself. You're a life-giving source. Okay, well, sometimes Tom and myself, we work together quite a bit, and we kid with each other, and that's not a real life-giving source. We can do it up to a point, and then you just have to stop that. But I was thinking about when things start happening and we get together, we unite together as Christians, there's life-giving sources that are happening, and pretty soon the body of Christ begins to take over. And so I'm looking at something in a church realm. I want to believe that I'm a life-giving church in the community that I live, in the regions that we're living in, and that we do make a difference. Yes. We do make a difference. So in thought, I'm just going to take a little bit of a look at a life-giving church and what it should look like. The thought is, I am a life-giving force. We have a life-giving force, and the church is a life-giving force. A life-giving church has members who live their lives by doing the will of God. You know, you say, well, how can I do the will of God? Well, it's pretty much laid out in the scripture and by the Holy Spirit. You'd say, well, I don't know all the scriptures. I haven't read enough scripture. By the Holy Spirit, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you know that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son so that we would be saved. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. You want any truth, you just call upon the Holy Spirit. You start praying, things begin to happen. Amen? Hallelujah. If you're looking for happiness, pray in the Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit just take over your life because it's a life-giving source. You see, if we're not a life-giving source, we have to go to the source of life. Amen? And the source of life is God Almighty. What a wonderful source that we come from. It's unending. It's a tidal wave. It's the ocean. It's power from on high, the Creator God. And so we go on. A life-giving source, a life-giving church has members who live their lives by doing the will of God. A life-giving church dwells and lives in the Spirit. A life-giving church is full of people who are committed to Jesus Christ. All right? That is a life-giving area. That's the deal. That's how it works. You say, well, I don't know if I want to do all those things. Well, that's fine. No one's twisting your arm. But that's what happens and starts changing things around you. I'd heard his story, and it was, let's call him Mr. Well, actually, I'll read it. It says, Mr. Keating gathered his English class in the hallway of the school, telling them to look closely at the pictures of the alumni on the wall, all photos of once invincible, hopeful students now dead. Mr. Keating asked the students what they planned to do with the rest of their life. He challenged them to seize the day, to live every moment to its fullest and make their life extraordinary. I thought that was pretty good. Now, this is a school, English school teacher that is bringing this forth. Mr. Keating is challenging his students to seize the day and to do something that will leave an eternal legacy forever. His unorthodox style teaching, which eventually ended up in him losing his job, but he does radical change the lives of his students. My heart's desire today is to do the same thing with all of you. I have a vision for the community church. I have a vision for this church becoming a life-giving church, a church that is so dynamic, so God-centered, so so God-empowered that it impacts lives in an extraordinary way. I desire to see this church be so Spirit-led that no one will ever want to leave it. All right, with that thought, Mr. Kading, he was a pretty cool dude, lost his job being cool, because today when you bring up an example that God is the answer for all things, and he's all-knowing, a good chance you're going to, at least in the United States, you're going to have 50% people against that. And then when you start talking about situations and what people are actually believing and doing, just messes up what God's trying to do. And God, he's saying, hey, I want you to be the best. I want every good thing. You're my child, and I'm your father. I want every good thing for you. Come on. You know, he's a life-giving source that wants us to be life-giving sources. Wouldn't a father pray for their sons and daughters to be greater than he is? Right? I mean, a father and a mother will pray for the kids saying, you know what? Maybe I've made a degree of greatness, but I want my kids to be great. I want them to be extraordinary, so their legacy is going to be, you know, when I hear statements like, this person started out, and then he had his family, and then it goes on through the family tree, and it's saying that one of them's become a senator, one's become even up to the president of the United States in some people's legacy. You know, why settle for less when there's so much more? Why settle for anything but what God wants to do in our lives? And there's nothing, I mean, you were saying, you know, doctrinally, I don't even like to get into, well, I do kind of like to get into doctrinal stuff because I think it's so foolish anyways, so you talk about it, and then you have to go and pray and listen to a good song to get out of that. You know what I'm saying? You know, this is not so hard. This is 101. Seek God first, and your life is going to be changed and wonderfully transformed. Isn't that right? That's right. And you'd say, well, Jake, has that been your life? That's probably been half my life because I didn't walk in the Spirit the other half, if you're hearing what I'm saying. I love the Spirit of God. I remember the very first day that I believed when Lowell Lundstrom was preaching a message out of Matthew 24, and that was quite a few years ago, but when he said, I had just started a business in Detroit Lakes. I did not want to walk forward with about 2,000 people there. I did not. But there was an invisible force that just went, and I love that. And from that day forward, did I do everything perfectly right? No. But in 3 months, I'd like to say the people that I used to hang out with, and they looked at the transformation that took place. I wasn't perfect, but the transformation that took place was mind-shattering. You know what I'm saying? So this school teacher right here challenging the status quo that you'd be super people instead of people that's always with a mask on, breathing somebody else's breath, having the air, waking up with a air mask on and have to turn over in the bed and you got that air mask on. You know, just in this sense, let's throw the air of this world off and breathe the air of God. Amen. Just breathe the air of God. Is it a pipe dream? Is this a pipe dream? I don't think so. Are you religious? I don't think so. You know, you need to get unreligious. And I don't know. I really sound like somebody that's been in the ministry for... Just get unreligious and try out God. Because God's not in religion. My brother Jim went 12 years without missing Sunday school. Was it 12 years, Jim? You had a pin? You're not going to brag about it? That's his testimony. But he went 12 years. And that did not change him. It had to be an experience through the song of God, through the worship of God, through the call from the Spirit, from the depths of heaven calling us. And we come and we were converted into Christ. Amen. And I just really want to challenge us today, and probably even think this next week, you know, I don't want you to say, well, that was a nice sermon. You can say that if you want to, but really, I don't even want a sermon, really. I'm wanting a life worth living, that this thing is a real deal. And that when people come in here, that we'd want to stay. We'd want to get into a presence that is so powerful that everything else seems to have no power over us. Amen. Sometimes I get mad. Sometimes at the car wash, it used to really irritate me when I'd drive in and at the splash and dash, but I wasn't doing the splash and dash. I was over another aisle, and I'd get irritated because it's 3 minutes or 4 minutes you put your money in, and then you're supposed to get out of there. Sometimes these people would put another $4 in, and then you'd have to wait another 5 minutes, and it irritated me. I'd try to go, they didn't have 2 minutes, I tried to go someplace else to show them that I wasn't going to. What in the world is that all about? But that's the air that you're breathing instead of saying, praise God. You know, the train used to bother me. It still does at times. So what I did, I moved right next to it, thinking I was going to get back at the train. You know, there's things that we're breathing that's not giving us a life-giving source. And first of all, we have to be life-giving sources. We cannot dismiss ourselves and saying, well, you know, if they were really real Christians, they'd act like that. That's not a biblical deal. When you become a life-giving source, then others will see that you've changed. And maybe my best 6 months was the first 6 months because I wasn't in any of that other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And this is God's wanting to change it so that we can walk around and we can live in God. I can live in God. I can look at my brother and sister, say, hey, you know what? Isn't it great living in God? And don't have a to-do list. You do this, and then it'll turn out. You know what? God's bigger than that. Yes. Holy Spirit is a lot smarter than that. And so let's, Jen, please.
Check. As we were talking about the air that we breathe and that song was being sung, I was just thinking about, so we have some, I was looking around, we have some athletes here, we have some people that have played football, I see football players all over, I see people who have lived life, and I was thinking about football, because I watch a lot of football lately, and these guys, and there's the girls on these teams, right? There's a few girls, and I'm just like, I go up to them, and I'm like, have you got hit yet? Because it's just, I'm just like, how can you even handle this, right? And I watch these big guys and little guys and medium guys, and I watch them get hit. And they what happens is they go down, right? And I want to ask the football players in here, if you've played football, have you ever got the wind knocked out of you? Have you? Caden, have you ever got the wind knocked out of you? Abe, have you? Yeah. How about you, Daniel? Jack? Who else has played football? Tom? You got the wind knocked out of you. And I just, and I'm sorry, I was just thinking about it. And what do they do? What do you do when you get the wind knocked out of you? You cry? Is it true? You cry. But
I cry.
But, you know, it's kind of scary when they don't get back up again, right? Everyone's just like sitting there watching and just going, oh my gosh, are they going to get back up? Are they going to get back up? But the air is there to breathe, right? The air is like, it's all around us. It's just, it's there, and you breathe it, and you slowly get your breath back, right? And And I just kind of was reminded that in life, I feel like, not just in sports, but in life, that things happen. And I feel like a lot of us have had the wind knocked out of us. And it's true. Every single one of us have.
Yeah.
Got the wind knocked out of you, where your enemy, where an enemy has come, and he's sought you out, and he said, I'm going to hit him right there, because I know exactly where to hit him, because I've been studying him or her, and I know his weakness, just like you do in sports. You study the weak ones, or you try to take the strong ones out, because if you get the strong ones out, then we got it, right? And I just feel like that today that's what happens, and the wind gets knocked out of you. And I just felt like the Spirit was here today when we were singing, This is the air that I breathe, that God is just saying, you know what? My air is right here. I'm right here. You don't have to reach. You don't even have to do anything. I'm just here. It's like I don't have to find air to breathe in this room. It's here. You know what I mean? And that he is really here. And you know what's really hard is when you're really, really young and you get the wind knocked out of you, because then it's like you keep reliving that hit, because that's what I would do. If I was a football player, I'd look and I'd say, no way, I'm not doing that again, because I'm going to get hit again. I'm not going on my back and I'm not going to cry again, right? And so I just feel the Spirit of the Lord is here to just say, you know what? I've made you a warrior. I've made you to get back up again. You've fallen, or that opponent has come against you in your life, but I am here and I'm giving you your breath back, because you are a child of God. You're part of my team, you're part of my army, and I'm here, and all you have to do is breathe.
Yes.
And that, you know, your trauma, it's here, it's been, but it's over. And you got to keep playing the game and get back in the game. Get back in the game and breathe. And so if it's okay, would you just touch the person next to you, and touch the people next to you, and just hold on to them really, really, really tight. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the air that you give us, God. The breath of air that you gave us to give us life. And Lord, I pray for every single person in this place that has got the wind knocked out of them, God. They couldn't breathe for a while, and they're still recovering. And God, I pray that your healing would come, and that they'd be able to breathe again, and they'd be able to just sense your presence. And God, I pray for the young people here this morning that have got the wind knocked out of them as small children or as teenagers, God. I pray that you would give them strength, the strength of warriors, God. The strength to be a warrior again. The strength to be strong again, God. And Lord, I pray that as for the people that have gone through life and have experienced these things just year after year after year, God, I pray that your Spirit would come, and that restoration would be there, and that they would become the team player and the person in their family and the person in their school and the person at work that could be a life-giving source, that once could not breathe but could be a life-giving source again. And Lord, I pray that the children and the teens and the parents and the friends, God, that we would know that we give life to each other, and that when we look at each other, we get life or we get death from each other. And Lord, that we would realize that we are giving life to each other every single day just by leaving our room, or by smiling, or by giving a hug, God, or by giving, or by encouraging. But Lord, I pray that you would bring healing to our hearts this morning, healing to our minds, healing to our families, God, that where we experienced rejection, that where we experienced pain, that where we experienced sickness, God, that you would bring healing, that you would bring joy, that you would bring strength. That you would bring us together again in your breath, God. We thank you so much for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just use this? All right. Well, let's just stand up. And just in dismissing, we always have an opportunity. If you're needing personal prayer, please come forward. We'll have people that will pray for you, believe with you about your circumstance, situation, in any way, shape, or form. And so you're invited to do that. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the days that we're living in. God, that we're going to be powerfully used by the power of God Almighty, by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we do ask, Lord, that as we take the mask of this world off, because we're breathing a new air. The air we breathe is the heavenly kingdom that God has called us into for such a time as this. So Father, we release that upon this congregation and the people, each person, that they are a life-giving source, being fed by God Himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful day in Christ. You can pray for the Vikings, I'm sure. Something like that's going to happen.